No, it's fine. Her hands reached for him. Just a little unnerving is all. She turned and grasped his jacket in her hands and then gave it a small tug. Should we go to my room? I'll lead the way, he told her, and swept her into his arms, enjoying the muffled sound of surprise she made in the way she clung to him. Desire surged through him, mixing with triumph. He'd won her back. She was in his arms, and he was going to make love to her and show her that he'd never wavered. His arms tightened around her possessively. Bronte was his again. Good. He pushed open the door to the other bedroom, Bronte's room. There was a single twin bed in the corner of the room with a plain wrought-iron headboard and a small dresser that held a few mementos from their dates that week. A vase of flowers, flowers that he'd given her, sat in the windowsill. There were no pictures on the walls, and the entire room seemed barely lived in. The realization pleased him. She'd be back with him after tonight. His place felt empty and lonely without her. Logan gently laid her on the bed and admired her. The curves of her body, the beauty of her face, the way the ends of her hair curled wildly, the way she bit her lip as she anticipated his touch. Carefully, almost reverently, he brushed his fingers down the length of one denim-clad leg and enjoyed seeing her shiver in response. He turned and shut the door to Bronte's small room, just in case her roommate did show up again, and she jumped at the sound. "Everything all right?" he asked her. A nervous giggle was his answer. "I'm fine, just a little on edge." "That's part of the appeal of having you like this," Logan murmured. His hands went to one of her shoes and eased it off her foot, and he smiled at the way she wiggled her toes in response. "Watching your response as I touch you, watching you anticipate my moves, all of it pleases me." "And are you hard?" she asked breathlessly. He took her hand and placed it on his cock. That quick caress had him nearly groaning aloud at her touch. His cock felt like steel and ached with the need to bury itself into her, but he would pace himself. Her fingers lightly glided along his shaft, exploring and feeling him. She licked her lips, the unconscious move making his cock jerk in her hand. "You're so hard, Logan, so big in my hand." And she was so delicate under his. "Beautiful Bronte," he murmured, leaning in to kiss her lips. She made a small noise of protest when he kept the kiss brief, automatically reaching for him again and stroking her hands down his cheeks. "I want you." "Let me play with you, Bronte. It would give me such pleasure." She shuddered at his words and nodded. "First, I'd like to undress you," he said in a low, seductive voice, intending to seduce her with words as well as touch. Her hands automatically moved to the waist of her jeans as if to help out, and he caught her hands in his. "Allow me." Her hands fluttered at her waist, as if uncertain, and then she dropped them to her sides. "Okay." Logan leaned in and pushed her sweater up, exposing an inch of skin above the waist of her jeans. He kissed the skin, enjoying her shiver of pleasure beneath him. "I plan on taking my time exploring you, love. You're going to be begging for me to take you by the time I'm done with you." She sucked in a breath. At her sides, her hands clenched and then flexed, as if she didn't know where to put them. "Just relax," he told her with a small grin, knowing that she'd never be able to. "Oh, sure," she said with a small laugh. "Easy for you to say." "It is," he agreed, undoing the button of her jeans and then lowering the zipper with excruciating slowness. His cock throbbed at the sight of the sliver of pale blue satin exposed. His mouth lowered, and he nipped at her skin through the satin, enjoying her small jerk of response. "These are lovely." "My panties or my hips?" she teased. "Both," he teased back. He tugged the thick fabric of the jeans down her legs, tossing them aside and on the floor when he was done. Her socks went next, each one carefully removed with a light skimming of fingers over her flesh. Now, her sweater. There were no buttons that he could lovingly pull apart. Shame. He He slid a hand under the soft fabric, caressing her belly. She squirmed, ticklish. Stop that. Stop touching you? His fingertip dipped into her belly button. Bronte sucked in a breath, and when his tongue followed the finger, she moaned in response. Never mind. Keep touching me. I'm obviously delusional. Clearly, he murmured, swirling his tongue around the edge of her belly button as he pushed her sweater upward. Ah, damn. She'd worn a matching bra. The cups were the same ice-blue satin decorated with little black bits of lace around the edges and between her breasts. He'd wanted to see her naked right away, but the sight of her curves cupped in that gorgeous lingerie made him rethink his idea. He'd leave her in it a bit longer, and then strip it off of her later. But for now, her sweater had to go. Hands? He asked her, sitting upright again. Her forehead furrowed over the blindfold, and she lifted her hands in the air after a moment's hesitation. Like this? Exactly. He tugged her sweater over her head and arms in a deft move and tossed it aside, pleased at the sight of her beautiful body. You're gorgeous. I could look at you all day and never get tired of it. A soft smile touched her mouth, and she reached for him, brushing her fingers through his hair. I could look at you all day, too. Ah, but this is about me pleasing you, he said, clasping her hands in his. And you're not playing fair. No touching. She did a mock pout that made him want to lean down and kiss her mouth. Instead, he took her hands and directed them over her head, to the wrought iron headboard's bars. Keep them here, he instructed her. I want to play with you a little longer. He was pleased to see the little shiver move over her body at the thought. She obeyed him, her breathing quickening with excitement. Logan skimmed a hand down her leg, caressing the skin. The front of her thigh was smooth and soft, her calves dainty and her ankles elegant. He could indeed spend all day admiring her body. He ran a finger along her skin, tracing a light pattern over her from foot to thigh, noticing how she reacted when he touched her. She jumped when he moved over her thighs, and he repeated the motion, this time skimming the inside of her thigh, and was pleased to see her twitch even more. Afflicted by love's madness, all are blind, she quoted suddenly. Oh? It felt appropriate at the moment. Logan chuckled. Very appropriate, except I am enjoying looking at you far too much to claim to be blind. His fingers played along the lace of her panties. Play-Doh? He asked innocently. Her lips quirked with amusement. Sextus Propertius, I believe. Intriguing name, he commented. His fingers grasped her thighs and he pulled them apart, eliciting a startled gasp from her. Keep these open for me, Bronte. I want to get my fill of looking at you. A whimper escaped her throat, but she did as he'd commanded, her knees falling open, her legs spread wide on the bed. He pushed them apart until they were flat on the mattress, the ice-blue panties totally exposed. She was so wet that he could see it seeping through the fabric of her panties, and he palmed his cock in response, groaning. I see how wet you are, love. Should I taste you? A shudder rippled through her, and she moaned, clutching at the iron headboard. He watched with fascination as her thighs quivered, as if desperate to lock together again. He ran a curious finger down the inside of her thigh, starting at her knee and moving toward her sex. She seemed to shudder with every inch caressed, until her hips were rolling on the bed. Logan, she breathed, her head turning back and forth despite the blindfold. Touch me. Where shall I do it? He brushed a knuckle over her belly button again. Here? Lower. He went to her knee and caressed it. Here? She moaned in frustration. You're a horrible tease. Now, love, he chided it. If I was a horrible tease, I'd move in and touch you like so. And he stroked one finger up the damp satin between her legs. Bronte's sucked-in breath was audible. He pushed his finger, nudging at the clit under the layers of clothing. But I'm not finished playing, Bronte. And if I continue to touch you here, you'll come. And I don't want that just yet. I'm enjoying teasing you far too much. Her hips bucked against his hand, trying to create friction between his fingers and her flesh. Naughty woman. He spanked her sex lightly in reproach, enjoying her startled gasp. Are you not having fun, love? I'm not sure if this is fun or torture, she panted. Her body shifted on the bed, about as close to squirming as she could get away with. Her hips wriggled under his hand, still resting atop her sex. He let it remain there a moment, a silent tease, before he removed it. A small protest escaped her throat. It died when his knuckles brushed over the tip of one of her breasts. He could tell they were hard and tight through the fabric of the pretty bra. Tight and kneading, and probably delectable. Logan's mouth watered just thinking about how she'd taste in his mouth, and he tugged at the cups of her bra, freeing her breasts. The underwire of the bra pushed her breasts upward, plumping them as if offering them to his lips. And who was he to refuse such an offering? Logan bent forward and took one succulent tip in his mouth. Bronte moaned. Delicious, he murmured against her skin, rolling the tip of her nipple against his lips. Such a hard little nub. He flicked his tongue against it. He loved her nipples, a dusky rose, slightly tilted, dark and pretty against all that creamy flesh. He began to tease the other with his fingertips as he tongued the first, flicking and teasing it with his mouth. Underneath him, Bronte whimpered, her hips undulating again. Her hands clenched the iron headboard tight, as if she needed to hold on to something desperately. Oh, Logan. He kissed her flesh, the tips of each breast, the sweet valley between them, the gentle curves underneath them. She moaned wildly with each caress, her blindfolded head moving back and forth as if in denial. And so he paused. More, she demanded, arching her back so her breasts were thrust oh so beautifully into his face. Please, Logan. Not yet, love, he murmured, kissing one nipple and then sitting up. His cock strained against his pants, so fucking eager that he could feel pre-cum beating on the thick crown. He stood and began to remove his pants, desperate to free his cock. She whimpered, confused. Logan, where are you going? Nowhere, love, he told her, just getting undressed. My cock's so hard it's aching and my clothes are too tight. A smile curved her lips and she licked them, which nearly made him come in his pants. I love your cock. Do you now? He stripped off the rest of his clothing, kicking it onto the floor before kneeling back alongside her again. His cock thrust into the air, hard, the head slick. Mm-hmm, she said with a small sigh of delight. He wrapped a hand around his cock, stroking it while looking up at her lying in the bed. Legs spread for him, panties wet, her breasts thrust up. Her head was tilted slightly, as if she were listening for his movements since she couldn't see him. Logan moved back over her, leaning in to kiss her mouth. His hand went to her breast, palming it, and he settled between her legs. She responded to his kisses eagerly, his tongue meeting his and rubbing against it with soft mews of desire. He moved down a little, settling his cock against her wet core and thrusting. She gasped, her hips rocking against his flesh. Feel good? He asked her, thrusting his cock against her sex again. The wet fabric prevented him from pushing deep inside her, a teasing barrier. Oh, God, yes, she moaned. Logan, I need you so bad. I want you inside me. He wanted to be there, too. But he wasn't done playing. He thrust again, enjoying her moans of response. When she parted her lips and licked them again, a mental image formed in his mind that made him groan aloud. He had to get up. She whimpered a protest, turning her head and looking for him. I'm here, he told her, standing by the head of the bed. He caressed her breasts, plucking at the nipples. Then he ran a thumb over her lower lip, unable to resist that mental image in his mind. Do you trust me, Bronte? Her entire body seemed to tremble with anticipation, and then she took his thumb in her mouth and bit down lightly. I trust you. Do you want me? More than anything. He grasped the headboard and leaned forward until the head of his cock pressed against her mouth. Then taste me. Her lips parted, and she ran her tongue over the head of his cock, licking up the salty pre-cum there. He groaned when her tongue slipped down the shaft, flicking against it. Then she opened her mouth and tilted her head, taking him in deeper. The sight of her lips wrapped around his cock was almost enough to send him over the edge, and he clutched at the headboard, trying to keep control. Bronte, he groaned. Ah, oh, God, your mouth. Her tongue licked against the underside of his cock, running along the thick vein there, so trusting and loving, so incredibly erotic. She sucked, trying to take him deeper, but he pulled out of her mouth. It was too much pleasure too fast, and it would be over with far too quickly if he let her continue. He wanted her to come first. Logan moved a step back from the bed, eyeing her all spread out and delicious. Are you enjoying yourself, love? She nodded, biting her lip. Her hips lifted a little, as if unable to stay down. More, Logan. I need you. I know, he told her. I'm going to give you more. But I need you on your hands and knees. Her little gasp was followed by a low moan, and she obediently turned over, moving to her knees and then leaning forward to rest on her elbows. The position pushed her pretty ass high into the air. Logan ran his hand all over her exposed skin, her thighs, her calves, the small of her back along her spine. It was a pleasure simply to touch her. She seemed to be enjoying it as well, her little breathy sighs of pleasure almost as enticing as touching her. His fingertips snagged on the waistband of her panties, and he tugged them down her thighs, exposing her wet, gleaming flesh. Bronte moaned again, her fingers curling into the blankets on the bed, anticipation making her entire body tense. Well now, he had to reward that. Logan brushed his fingertips over the slick lips of her sex, then parted them, stroking up and down. She jerked in surprise, and then a whimper escaped her when he circled the slick opening to her core. She rolled her hips, forcing his fingers to dip in just a little. Logan, she breathed, I need you so badly. He moved down to her clitoris, rubbing it between two of his slick fingers and stimulating it. Bronte jerked again, her hips flexing, and her gasps became rapid and wild, as if she were unable to control herself. She worked her hips against his hand, and he continued to rub her clit, then pushed his thumb into her core. She went wild, writhing against his hand and moaning his name as he continued to work her. He could feel her pussy shuddering with each shallow thrust, and he pushed the pad of his thumb forward, increasing the friction, even as he continued the measured, steady rubbing of her clitoris. Logan, she cried. Oh, please, I... Her entire body clenched under him, muscles quivering, and she made a soft keening sound. Her pussy clenched around his thumb, milking it with the force of her orgasm. He continued to rub, wanting to prolong the pleasure for her, and she continued to make that low keening noise that made his cock throb with wanting her. The orgasm seemed to go on forever, but then Bronte gave one final shudder and sagged against the blankets, resting her cheek against them. Her legs were sprawled, her sex gleaming wet from her pleasure. Oh, she breathed. Oh, Logan. He licked his fingers, tasting her pleasure on his skin. Beautiful. A soft, sated smile curved under the blindfold and made his cock jump with need. Condoms? She stilled, reaching for the blindfold. Oh, I don't think I have any. I don't... He spanked her ass lightly, and her hand flew away from the blindfold. Pill. I'm on the pill. Right. Good. He was pleased to see that her hand had slipped between her thighs, and she was playing with her flesh, lightly rubbing along her clit. She bit her lip as he waited, watching her. She let her hand slide away. No, he told her. Keep touching yourself. I like seeing that. He could see the hot blush stealing over her cheeks under the blindfold, but her hand returned between her legs and began to move slowly again. He watched her, fascinated by the sight of her pleasing herself. His cock jerked with need again. Logan moved behind her on the bed, moving between her spread legs. Her ass was so beautiful, perched in the air, that he couldn't resist running his hands over it again. "Are you still touching yourself?" She sucked in an excited breath and nodded, as if unable to trust her voice. He thrust into her in one swift move, hands gripping her hips. She jerked in surprise, a choked moan escaping her. He stilled immediately, worried that she'd been too surprised and he'd somehow hurt her. "Bronte?" "Move," she moaned, her hips bucking up against him. "Oh, God, move." He groaned in response to that, thrusting hard again. He'd wanted to be so controlled in his movements, slowly driving her back up the peak of desire. But it seemed that, sheathed deep in her warmth, he'd lost all control. His thrusts were rough and wild, his hands gripping her hips to anchor her back against him. And she was out of control, too, pushing back against him to add force to his thrusts, a low scream building in her throat. "Keep touching yourself," he demanded, his voice ragged as he continued to pump into her. Her only response was another muffled scream, and he felt her pussy clench all around him. Logan uttered a curse, trying to retain control, trying to keep his rhythm, to make this as good for her as possible, make it last until she was mindless with pleasure, show her how much he fucking loved her and her body. She made a soft sound that was almost like a sob, and then she spasmed around his cock, sucking him tight as she began to come again, her body trembling all over with the force of her passion. He lost control. Thrusting hard into her again, he groaned her name and went over the edge, his own orgasm exploding from his body with a fierce intensity that shocked him. It seemed to go on forever, coming hard and fierce, until it left him as breathless and wrung out as the woman beneath him. Logan pulled out of Bronte, ignoring her small noise of protest. When he turned around, she was sitting up in bed, her hands pulling at the blindfold. He moved toward her, gently undoing the knot at the back of her head, and then leaning in to kiss her when she smiled up at him. "I love you," he told her, his voice gruff. "I mean that." Her smile faltered a little. "Thank you." She didn't say it back. For a moment he was surprised, and then angry, and then he chuckled at himself. So this was how she'd felt when she'd confessed and he'd ignored her. Fair enough. It was a good lesson for him to learn. "You don't trust me yet." It wasn't a question. She bit her lip, then shook her head. "I'm sorry. I just... "Don't apologize. You can't help the way you feel. Just know that I do love you, and I'll prove it to you somehow." Logan sat down on the edge of the small bed and grabbed the blankets. "You'd better move over if you want to get any sleep tonight." Bronte gave a small squeal and shifted on the bed, elbowing him by accident as they tried to make all of their limbs fit in the twin bed. "We both won't fit," she protested. "We will," he said with determination, and pulled her hips against him until their bodies were flush. The fit was tight, but pleasant, and it allowed him free rein to nibble on her ear. She was already drifting to sleep, though, her eyes drooping with exhaustion, and so he watched her doze off, his mind whirling with thoughts. One particular quotation that he'd read in another of her books came to mind, though. To test whether she was awake, he leaned in and whispered something, sure to get a response. "Wainy, weedy, weaky. I came, I saw, I conquered." "I heard that," she muttered sleepily, but she smiled and patted him on the arm. He decided to keep the other to himself. "Every heart sings a song, incomplete, until another heart whispers back." It seemed that loving Bronte brought out the philosopher in him as well. Chapter 13. The next morning, Bronte woke up to find Logan's body curled around hers, and her arm was asleep from being in a cramped position over her head. She lay in bed for a long moment, debating getting up, since there was no way she'd be able to get out of bed without waking Logan. Sweet, gorgeous Logan. God, she loved him. Terrified of getting hurt again, she'd chickened out on saying it the night before. But he'd seemed to understand her fear, and it hadn't bothered him. He'd just kissed her, and they'd climbed into bed together, sleeping in a tangle of limbs because they didn't want to be parted. She'd been resting on a spring all night, and her leg was trapped under his, and her arm hung off the bed. It was the best night of sleep she'd had in a long time. Her bladder was protesting the hour, though, and she sighed and sat up, beginning to extract herself. Logan woke up and kissed her arm before rolling out of bed, yawning and stretching to work out the kinks in his back. Morning, love. He'd been calling her love all night, she'd noticed. She liked it, too. Bronte smiled at him. I need to run to the bathroom before Gretchen gets in there. She's a shower hog. Go ahead, he told her, lying back. He grabbed the pillow and tucked it under his head as if to go back to sleep. She grinned and shook her head at him, then raced for the bathroom. When she returned from her shower, she was surprised to see him up and moving about her room. He'd dressed in his boxer shorts and had made the bed. Her suitcase lay atop the blankets, and he'd pulled several of her hung-up clothes out of the closet. Bronte gave him a curious look, holding back her frown. What's all this? Logan smiled over at her. Thought I'd help you get started while I waited for the shower. Get started with what? She crossed her arms over her towel and tried to look open-minded about what he was going to say. His mouth thinned a little. We're back together now. You're moving back in with me. She shook her head. Logan, no. Frustration flashed in his gaze. Why is that a problem, Bronte? His voice sounded as if he were trying to be patient, and it were causing him pain. Because our relationship is all messed up, Logan. You and I were moved in together before we barely even knew each other, and look how well that worked out. It worked out just fine in my eyes. She snorted. Of course he'd say that. Nothing's changed, Logan. Last night was great, but I'm allowed to sleep with a guy and not move in with him. His face hardened as a stark look of disbelief crossed his gaze. Is there someone else? His voice was deathly serious. What? No, of course not. Relief flickered in his eyes. Good. He moved forward and pulled her into his arms. I'm not seeing anyone else, and you're not either. This thing we have, it's just you and me. All right. And you're moving back in with me. He sounded so possessive and so utterly sure of himself. No, I'm not. Not until I'm ready. Logan seemed to think about that for a moment, and then accepted it. What will it take to make you ready? I want you back in my bed. You have me back in a bed? In my bed, for good. And in my life, Bronte. I want you in my life most of all, at my side. She tugged her towel a little tighter around her naked body. Being in his bed was no problem. It was being in his life that she was struggling with. I'm not ready yet, Logan. Please don't pressure me. Bronte thought he would protest again, but to her surprise, he moved in and caressed her neck, lifting strands of wet hair off of her skin. I'm disappointed, but I understand. He leaned in and kissed her lightly on the mouth. The offer remains, of course. Accept it when you're ready. She trembled at the sweetness of his touch and the understanding in his voice. Thank you, Logan. He kissed her again. What are you doing today? I work in an hour. Want me to clear your schedule? No, she said with a smile. I need to work, and Cooper could use the help today. Working, mindless as it was, helped keep her mind off of things like her personal life. Maybe tonight. He shook his head. Tonight I'm busy. Oh? That was interesting. Busy with what? Meeting, he said abruptly. I'll be free tomorrow night. All right, she told him. I'll miss you tonight. Logan gave her a curious look, and then leaned in and kissed her fiercely, as if he'd just come to some sort of bizarre realization. I love you. A bit surprised, she laughed at his expression. She almost blurted, I love you too, but stopped herself. What brought that on? The look he gave her was intense, making her laughter die in her throat. I want you to come to my meeting tonight. You do? To a business meeting? It's more of a meeting of... friends. Are you sure that's allowed? It will be, he said, his smile surprisingly grim. Bronte was lost in thought as she walked the streets of Soho, heading to Cooper's Cuppa. Gretchen hadn't been at the apartment that morning, and Bronte suspected that she had returned home late the night before and quietly left for work that morning without disturbing Bronte or her guest. It suited Bronte just fine. While they normally walked to work together, strolling by herself allowed her to clear her head and think a little. Her night with Logan had been intense, magical, wonderful. If she hadn't already been in love with him, she would be by now. But it was also a little troubling. He'd wanted her to move back in with him as if nothing had happened, and she was still mentally working through some of their issues. When all was said and done, he was still a billionaire used to getting his way in everything, and she was still a waitress. Their massive power incompatibility worried her. Men like him didn't date waitresses. Men like him bought the establishment and slept with the waitresses, she thought wryly. That was her situation, and yet it wasn't. Logan had proved he wasn't what she'd expected, just as she wasn't what he'd expected, she supposed. But she couldn't quite bring herself to fling it all away and return to being his live-in girlfriend, to have no other role in his life than being arm candy that was fun in bed. She didn't know what to do. Logan had said the offer stood, but what if he didn't wait forever? What if he got tired of waiting for her to be comfortable with who he was, and he moved on and forgot about her? Tears pricked at her eyes, and she swiped them away, pulling open the door to the coffee shop. Gretchen was behind the counter already, her red hair pulled up in a messy knot, her glasses sliding down her nose. She looked up at Bronte's entrance and gave her a startled look. "You're here today?" "Of course," Bronte said stiffly, heading to the back. "Why wouldn't I be?" Gretchen stepped out from behind the counter, following Bronte to the office. "Oh, I don't know. Could it have something to do with the tall, dark, and rich guy who was over last night?" "Why does everyone assume that just because Logan and I sleep together that I automatically decide to shirk all my duties?" "'Cause that's what happened last time?" Gretchen asked playfully. The words were meant as a tease, but it was too much for Bronte. She sniffed loudly and stared at her locker, willing herself not to cry. It didn't work. "Oh, jeez," Gretchen said, pulling one of the spare brown aprons off of a coat hook and handing it to her. "I didn't mean to upset you." "It's okay," Bronte said, dabbing at her eyes with the apron and collapsing into a heap on a nearby stool. "I'm just all confused on the inside." "You want to talk? I can get us a couple of coffees and we can steal one of the booths in the back. It's kind of slow this morning." Bronte nodded. 5 minutes later, they were settled into the smallest back booth of the coffee shop, hot mocha cappuccinos in hand. Cooper looked at them curiously from time to time, but he didn't pry, and Bronte was grateful. "So," Gretchen said, "you had Mr. Moneypants over last night. It went badly, and that's why you're crying?" Bronte shook her head, grabbing a handful of napkins as she felt the confused tears welling up again. "It went great. It was beautiful. He told me he loved me." Gretchen nodded thoughtfully. "And this is bad. Admission of love pre-blowjob as incentive, then?" She giggled, the sound a little choked with tears. "Post-blowjob. And no, it's not bad. I just don't know what to do. I still have an apartment back in Kansas City. A life. Well, such as it is. But this morning I got out of the shower and Logan was packing my bags as if sleeping with him meant that I was automatically moving back in." "That bastard," Gretchen said ironically. "How dare he want to spend all his time with you? Do you need me to talk to him and set him straight?" She made a face at her friend. "I'm serious. My problem with Logan is that last time we did the exact same thing. We moved in together right away, and he just kind of took over my life." "I see." Gretchen sipped her coffee thoughtfully. Took over like how? He bought me some clothes. That bastard! Shut up, Gretchen. I'm trying to tell you. He bought me clothes, and we went to a party, and... She frowned in thought. I bought books for his library. Well, Gretchen said huffily, what a douchebag. How dare he spend his billions on you? Bronte glared. You're not helping. Of course I am, Gretchen said matter-of-factly. I'm making you realize how silly you're being. Bronte continued to glare at Gretchen. The redhead shrugged. Look, he's got so much money he could roll in it. You, meanwhile, count the change in your wallet for a slice of pizza. Is it weird that he wants to shower you with presents and nice things? Maybe he likes buying them for you. He doesn't like gold diggers, Gretchen. Everyone always uses him for his money. I don't want to be like everyone else. Then don't be. Don't go running off buying a truck full of Birkin bags. Though if you do, remember your bestie Gretchen and her sister Audrey. When Bronte glared at her again, Gretchen sighed. Look, it doesn't sound like the problem is his money. It sounds like the problem is you. What? As in, Logan doesn't need you. He likes you. He finds you fun. But he doesn't need you to survive. So you don't know what to do with yourself. That's a little unhealthy, don't you think? That's not the case at all. No. What did you do when you moved in with him? Bronte opened her mouth to protest, then snapped it shut again. I shopped with Audrey, and then I sat around in his apartment. Gee, exciting. I'm amazed he let you get away the first time, Gretchen said dryly. Oh, my God, Bronte said. All this time I've been thinking I can't be with him because I can't be who he wants me to be. What if it's because I am the problem? Well, you are a waitress, Gretchen said. It's not as if you can continue waitressing if you're living with a billionaire. She was right, Bronte realized. Oh, God, everything she was saying was right. Bronte was blaming Logan for being... Logan. Logan was who he was. A little alpha, take charge, and always thinking ahead. And she'd been punishing him for being who he was, instead of loving him for it. She'd been the problem all along. Her stomach gave a sick little lurch. I don't know what to do, Gretchen. If I move in with him again, I worry that I'm going to turn into one of those women he hates, sitting around all day, spending money and doing nothing. That won't happen. You're smart. You're constantly spouting ancient wisdom and writing little sayings on customers' cups. They love that. Do something with that big philosophizing brain of yours instead of serving coffee. Bronte stared down at her cappuccino. I really wanted to do something with my philosophy degree, you know. Show the world just how wise and intelligent they were in classical times. Make others love the ancients just as much as I do. Then maybe you should go back to school, teach, or write books about ancient philosophers. I know a great editor or two. Or you could set up charity foundations with all of your boyfriend's ridiculous money that he wants you to spend. Gretchen leaned over and clasped Bronte's hand. My point is that the money's not a problem. It's not an obstacle if you don't make it one. If he wants to shower you with money, use it and really make something of yourself, Bronte. Be who you want to be, not just a Midwestern waitress with big dreams. Understand? You can always pay him back. Strange how a friend telling her to make something of herself came across far more gently than when Logan had. Bronte smiled at Gretchen. So if you were me, you'd move back in with him? Hell no, Gretchen said. If I were you, I'd have killed him in a week. But you're wimpy. You're great with him. Bronte stuck her tongue out at Gretchen. The redhead grinned and gave Bronte's hand another squeeze. If he makes you happy, don't set up obstacles that don't have to be there. Love is more important than anything else in the world. Well, almost. But you've got the money thing taken care of already. I'd kill to have a man look at me the way Logan looks at you. Cooper looks at you that way, Gretchen, Bronte said carefully. The look of chagrin on Gretchen's face was terrible to see. I keep hoping he'll grow out of it, she said quietly. I like Cooper, but he's not the right guy for me. He's so... normal, bland. I need someone different. She smiled at Bronte, and her smile was sad. I'm a bit of a hopeless romantic, you know, holding out for a hero and all that. Bronte nodded and squeezed Gretchen's hand back. You'll find the right guy. I'm sure he's out there somewhere. He might be, or he might just be fictional, or broke, or both. Gretchen gave her a teasing laugh. It'd help if he was half as rich as your boyfriend, though. For the first time in years, Logan felt an emotion that had become foreign to him. He was nervous. Tonight was going to be a clusterfuck. It was one of the Brotherhood meetings. They had a strict rule that no additional parties were allowed. No siblings, no buddies, no parents, no business partners. Just the original six. No one had ever thought of breaking the rules, because it would have been unfair to the others in the group. And here Logan was, their leader, about to bring the woman he loved to a meeting and explain to her that he was part of a secret society of billionaires. The tattoo on his arm, a badge of membership, his success, interlocked with that of his brothers. He hoped she'd understand. He knew there couldn't be any more secrets between them, not if he wanted to keep her. And he was laying it all on the line, betting everything he had, because he needed her to realize just how much he loved and trusted her, and how different she was from everyone else. The others would be furious. They wouldn't understand. None of them were married or even had steady girlfriends, though Reese had a steady stream of women. But Logan had to do this. He couldn't risk losing Bronte forever, so he'd show her everything, and hope she wouldn't be put off by the non-disclosure agreement she'd have to sign. Danica had balked at the prenup and shown her true colors. What would Bronte do? Was he going to lose everything just by trying to include her in his life? He hoped not. Bronte studied her closet. She had no idea what to wear to this mystery meeting. Meeting implied business, but Logan said it was friends. She studied the clothes hanging in the small closet. Go casual? Or dress up in anticipation of something fussy? She couldn't decide. Tonight felt important for some reason, though she had no idea why. Her mind was still on this morning's conversation with Gretchen. Logan had offered himself just as he was, and she had been the one with the problem. It was a bit humbling. There was nothing wrong with being a waitress, of course. She liked her job and liked working with people, but she couldn't be a waitress and be with Logan. The two were completely incompatible. Waitressing was hard work with odd hours. She didn't want to be too tired to see him, or too busy, and it didn't make sense for her to bust her butt for tips when he had money. She had to choose. And she was going to pick the gorgeous man she was in love with, of course. It was just a matter of admitting it to herself. She decided on a simple black sweater and dark gray skirt with heels. Dressy enough that she could pass for formal, but it wouldn't look out of place if the evening was casual. She smoothed her hair, applied a bit of makeup, and waited for Logan to arrive, her stomach fluttering with nervousness. She had a feeling tonight was going to change everything in their relationship. The dark sedan had shown up for their date, and Bronte didn't even blink when the driver got out to open the doors. She would just have to get used to that sort of thing in the future, she told herself. Logan got out of the car and kissed her lightly, then held the door open for her to get in. Bronte smiled at the driver as she entered, then slid over to make room for Logan. When he was seated next to her, she asked, "Is what I'm wearing all right?" "It's fine," he told her, seemingly distracted, but he reached for her hand. With a nod to the driver, the car pulled away from the curb and they began to head back toward Midtown. Bronte watched the buildings that passed, noting streets and trying to determine where exactly they were going. Where was this meeting being held? To her surprise, they pulled up in front of a small bar. She gave Logan a curious look, but followed him out of the car and onto the street. He put his hand on the small of her back and guided her forward. Inside, the bar was quiet, only a few patrons seated at wooden tables. It looked very ordinary. A hockey game was playing on a TV set in the corner, and no one was paying a bit of attention to them. "Is this where the meeting is?" "I'll explain everything later, I promise." Curious, she let him lead her to one of the back doors. A dark, narrow hallway was lit by a single unadorned light bulb, and at the far end stood a large, hulking man next to a door. Logan stepped in front of her and headed toward the man, and unease grew in her stomach. This wasn't normal. Was this some kind of under-the-table business deal? Something illegal? Oh, God, was Logan into trafficking? The drug trade? Her stomach twisted with anxiety. Surely not. She'd never expected such a thing from Logan, but what were they doing down here in this dingy hallway for a business meeting? She didn't understand. The man eyed them with a cold expression, saying nothing, and Bronte resisted the urge to step behind Logan and let him shield her. Logan lifted his hand and placed two fingers over his heart, then moved it up to his shoulder and slid them down his sleeve. A very specific gesture. The man nodded as if satisfied, and his glare fixed on Bronte. "She's with me," Logan told him. The man's eyebrows went up, but he simply nodded and gestured at the door.
"The others are inside."
This was clearly some sort of secret meeting. Her stomach clenched again. Surely Logan wasn't in the Mafia, was he? Then again, this was New York City. Logan pushed the door open and then gestured for Bronte to enter. She did, stepping down a narrow line of cement stairs into a basement, a very well-lit basement. Cigar smoke hung in the air, and she could hear the murmur of conversation that abruptly stilled as she descended the last stair and came into the other's view. A poker table sat in the center of the room, a drink table at the far end. Chips were scattered about, along with half-full glasses and ashtrays. Around the table sat five men, all scowling at the sight of her. And she recognized four of them. Jonathan, who'd been their helicopter rescuer, and who was as fabulously wealthy as Logan, sat on the far end of the table, a cigar held between his teeth. Cade sat in the middle, his expression more welcoming than the others, but equally perplexed. To his right, she recognized Reese, whom she'd met only briefly, and Griffin. And there was one man with his back to her, only part of his face visible. Reese threw down his cigar and cards, getting to his feet.
"What the hell is this, Logan?"
Logan adjusted the cufflinks of his jacket as if nothing were amiss.
"This is Bronte, my girlfriend."
"You can't bring your girlfriend to..."
Griffin abruptly stopped short, as if realizing what he was about to say. Bronte's heart sank. They were all wealthy. All wealthy and conducting secret meetings together. It could only be one thing. She turned to Logan, and tears shimmered in her eyes. She didn't know whether she was hurt or terrified. "Why didn't you tell me you were in the Mafia?"
"The Mafia?"
Loud bursts of laughter rocked the table behind her, and Bronte turned, confused, then looked back at Logan.
"I don't understand."
"I'm not with the Mafia, love," he said patiently, "but I do need you to understand this if we're going to make a life together. These men are my friends."
"Logan," Jonathan said in a warning voice, "don't you dare."
Logan ignored him, his gaze on Bronte. He took her hand in his.
"They've been my friends since college. We were in the same fraternity together. We made a pledge to assist each other in business and remain friends for life." He studied her face. "Do you understand what I'm saying?"
"God fucking damn it," Reese said.
"Leave him alone,"
another gruff voice said. It was the man Bronte didn't know.
"He has to have his reasons."
Bronte's head swirled with what he was telling her. He was watching her, and it seemed to be important, but she didn't understand. "Your college friends? But why the basement? Why..." She stopped when he put his hand on his biceps, over the tattoo. Two fingers, a $2 bill. It had seemed so odd to her that someone like Logan would have such a bizarre tattoo. It made sense now, though. She gasped.
"A secret society?"
"A brotherhood," Logan agreed. "We help each other out, no matter what."
"Hey, I can write down my social security number and my PIN if we're giving her all of our information," Reese said sarcastically.
But Logan's gaze was serious as he stared down at her.
"Do you understand?" She thought for a moment, then took her clutch purse and whacked Logan on the arm with it.
You scared the shit out of me. I thought you were in the mafia for a second.
This is just a secret, Bronte. If word got out that we had business dealings together, people would be crawling all over us. Feds, auditors, you name it. This is a secret. Our secret.
After a long, serious moment, he added,
And I'm trusting you with it. I love you.
Bronte gazed up at Logan, shocked.
This was a big secret. He was trusting her with everything, giving her everything that he was.
He wanted, needed, her in his life that badly?
She realized then that Danica had been wrong about Logan. He didn't treat everything like business. He'd come down into this basement knowing full well that his friends, and business partners, it seemed, would be utterly furious with him. He was risking everything. For her.
I love you too, she told him with a catch in her throat. But I think your friends are going to kill you.
A grin lit his face and he pulled her close. They'll get over it. He kissed her, long, hard, and fierce. So fiercely that her knees went weak and she sagged against him. Behind them, someone cleared his throat.
This is really quite moving, Griffin said in a cultured voice. But you seem to forget the implications for the rest of us. We're not in love with her.
She turned to look at them, unhappy that this moment of trust was going to cost Logan so much.
You're all such close friends. I don't want this to be a problem.
Too late, Jonathan said flatly. Bronte looked at Logan.
Is there something I can sign that would prove it? That I can stay quiet? That you can trust me?
A non-disclosure agreement? Logan asked.
Yes, that's it, she said with a nod, glancing back at the table. Would a non-disclosure agreement work?
It depends, Reese said. Exactly how many other women are we going to be dragging in here and sharing all our secrets with? Only this one, Logan said, grinning. I'm not in love with anyone else.
A warm feeling swept through her, and she couldn't stop smiling.
Oh, geez, Reese said. They're so cute together, I want to puke.
Be nice, Cade said. I'm happy for you both, Logan and Bronte. Come, have a seat. We'll get things worked out as we play.
Logan moved to the table and pulled out his chair for Bronte, motioning for her to sit down. She did, pretending she didn't see the wary looks on the men's faces. While Logan had invited her in for the evening, it was clear that she still wasn't exactly invited in their eyes.
Get an extra chair, Logan said.
There are no extra chairs, Griffin pointed out succinctly. There's never been anyone else down here but us.
We need to get another chair for in the future, then, Logan said.
It got very quiet. Cade began to push some chips toward her, but Bronte shook her head.
I don't know how to play poker, she lied, sensing that her playing would push a few of the men past their comfort zone. And I don't think I'll be coming back. She smiled at Logan reassuringly.
Just because we're a couple doesn't mean we have to be together every moment. This is your time with your friends.
Marry this one, Reese proclaimed, picking up his cigar again.
I plan on it, Logan said. Bronte blushed, getting up from the chair so Logan could sit down. Was that just more guy talk? It was far too early to be thinking about marriage. But their banter and her backing off from the table had the desired effect. She immediately sensed a bit of the tension easing off the table and knew she'd made the right decision. These were Logan's friends, and Logan's club. He was welcome to it, and she wouldn't share the secret. As if he could tell what she was thinking, Logan sat down in the chair and dragged her into his lap. Two drinks were set in front of them, whiskey or brandy from the looks of it.
Drink up, Jonathan said.
They did, and Bronte coughed at the burning taste of the drink, which made the men laugh. Her face flushed with embarrassment. But Logan only pulled her closer, settling her on his lap. This meeting of the Brotherhood is called into session, he said, grinning up at her. As the evening wore on, drinks, cards, and business advice flew freely around the table. Bronte lost track of most of the conversation due to the drinks that the men kept sending her way. Deliberately, she suspected, to distract her. That was fine. She ended up spending half the night discussing the exaggerations of the account of Atlantis in Plato's Timaeus. Griffin was funding an archaeological dig in Spain for a theoretical site near Cadiz, and they chatted about it while the men played cards. It seemed that while Plato thought Atlantis was an island in the ocean, recent theory was that Atlantis was on the Spanish coast, and it intrigued him to investigate it. He even offered to take her and Logan to see the site sometime, which made her brighten and Logan scowl.
Quit flirting with my woman, Griffin.
I'm not flirting with her, you Neanderthal. We can discuss mutual interests without it being flirting, Griffin said, but he winked at her as if sharing a joke.
Logan snorted. I'd believe it if I thought that talking archaeology didn't give you a hard-on.
Griffin just shook his head, but Bronte noticed he didn't meet her gaze again, which told her that Logan had hit pretty close to the mark. At some point, Logan kissed her ear and stood up, sliding her out of his lap.
I'm heading upstairs to chat with Reese and Jordan, love. We'll be back in a moment.
All right, she said, clutching her newly refilled glass to her breast, her head buzzing. Don't take too long.
I won't. We're just going to discuss your non-disclosure agreement.
She nodded, her brain fuzzy, and sat back down in Logan's chair. Cade frowned as the three men left and then stood himself.
I'd better go and see what they're up to.
He left, and Griffin followed him out. That left Bronte holding her glass, and the man seated next to her, who had been quiet all night. He'd been careful not to look over at her, and she was curious about him. Hunter, did he not like her? Bronte frowned and took another swig of her whiskey, watching him over the rim of her snifter.
Your friend, Hunter said after a long moment.
His voice was deep and gravelly. He spoke as if the words were a chore. He was an odd man.
The redhead. Tell me about her.
You mean Gretchen?
Gretchen.
He repeated the name as if tasting it.
What is her last name?
Why? How do you know about Gretchen?
I saw you with her the other day. Tell me more about Gretchen.
Bronte frowned, her thoughts slow and diffuse from alcohol. Something about giving her friend's information to a stranger seemed not right, but she was having a hard time reasoning as to why. Why should I tell you about Gretchen, so you can stalk her? Hunter stared down at his cards, and she realized he was carefully hiding one hand behind the other. Interesting.
I am an admirer of hers, from afar.
Like a stalker, Bronte repeated drunkenly.
Not a stalker. I simply wish to know more about her.
That's what a stalker would say, she pointed out, taking another sip of her drink. He ground his teeth and glared over at her. Bronte got her first good look at his face, and she suddenly understood why he'd been so careful to turn away from her. And why he hid his hand. Thick white scars stood out in relief against his tanned skin. They crossed his face in an irregular, scattered pattern that indicated massive trauma. One corner of his eye was tilted down, as if the repairs had altered its shape, and the side of his mouth had a jagged white line curving from it, a seam that had been torn open and repaired. Even the hand he'd covered showed the white, gouging lines of scarring. It was not a pretty sight, not in the slightest. Bronte swallowed hard, her stomach churning from the alcohol.
Your friend is quite safe from my romantic interests, Hunter gritted out. I simply wish to learn more about her.
Oh, Bronte said, forcing herself to turn away from the hideous webbing of scars. She stared down at her glass, which seemed a little too empty at the moment. Penway, she said. Her last name is Penway. She writes books.
What kind of books?
Books with other people's names on them. His gaze seemed to pin her to Logan's chair, and she wished she had a bit more to drink.
A ghostwriter?
Bronte nodded, then stopped because it made the room wobble. That's right, and Cooper's in love with her.
Cooper?
He rasped the word out harshly. It's okay, though. He won't make a move.
He knows Gretchen isn't interested in him that way. She wants adventure or a fairy tale or something. The scarred man snorted and lifted his own drink, and Bronte peeked over at him. Nope, the scars didn't look any better on the second glance. "Is Logan coming back?" she asked, feeling a little faint. "I think I'm going to be sick." Hunter smiled grimly over at her. "Depends on whether Jonathan and Reese have given him a few black eyes yet." She stared at him in surprise, then bolted to her feet. The room shifted woozily and she grasped at the chair. "But they... I don't want them to hurt Logan. I said I'd sign the non-disclosure agreement."
"The agreement takes care of the future. Fists take care of right now," Hunter said. "Sit down before you hurt yourself."
Bronte flopped back to her seat, holding her stomach. Suddenly, being drunk in a dark, smoky room didn't seem like such a good idea. "I need a drink of water, I think. And Logan. I want Logan." Hunter set a tumbler in front of her and filled it with water. When she reached for it, he laid a hand over it, blocking her.
"Tell me more about Gretchen."
Bronte glared at him and brushed his hand aside. She took the glass anyhow and started sipping it. When her stomach stopped doing flips, she began. "Well, she has a cat." Chapter 14. When Bronte woke up the next morning, her head was pounding and her mouth felt like a dirty old sock. She groaned, rolling over in the bed and smacking into Logan's broad chest. His arms went around her and he pulled her close, nuzzling her ear. "Morning." Even that small word made her head hurt insanely. She groaned and closed her eyes, pressing the heel of her palm to her forehead. "I hurt."
"Do you need aspirin?"
Just the thought of dry, medicinal-tasting aspirin sticking to the roof of her mouth made her want to vomit. "Dry toast, please?" He kissed her cheek.
"Coming right up."
The bed shifted as he climbed out of it, and Bronte spent the next 5 minutes trying not to throw up from the quaking that small movement had produced. There was something not quite normal about where she lay. There was a roaring in her ears. God, had she ever been so drunk in her life? She had vague memories of a smoky room and a man with scars, and lots of poker chips being passed back and forth. That was it, really. Logan returned, his hand smoothing the messy hair off of her brow. "You okay?" She forced herself to sit up in bed slowly, her eyes squeezed into slits, and she reached for the glass of water he put in her hand and began to drink. After a moment, she said, "My head's so fuzzy, it feels like the ground is moving." "Huh." Logan's innocent symbol made her frown. Unfortunately, the bright light in the room was killing her, so she couldn't glare at him. She lay back down in the bed and reached for a pillow to pull over her head, ignoring Logan's chuckle of amusement. The bed shook again, and her stomach gurgled in response. That shaking was not her imagination. Bronte's eyes flew open as the jet's thrusters started roaring. Pressure made her ears pop and pushed her down on the bed, and she tried to struggle to her elbows. Are we flying?"
"Don't get up," Logan said, pressing a hand to her shoulder. "Lie down and relax. You're hungover."
Her gaze moved to his face and she gasped. Her handsome, contained, so-in-control billionaire boyfriend had a hell of a shiner. A dark purplish-green ring lined his eye, and it was puffy and swollen. "Your face!" He grinned and touched his fingers just below his eye, wincing. "Yeah, the guys and I had a little talk. When we land, the non-disclosure agreement will be waiting at my office for you to sign. The others insist." "That's fine," Bronte said, eyeing him for other bruises. "Whatever gets them off your back." "I'm sorry if you feel I'm pushing you into it," he told her in a guarded voice. "I know you're probably not happy about it." She shrugged, holding the pillow close to her throbbing head. "I actually don't care," she told him, closing her eyes and trying to relax to ease her throbbing head. "It's not a big deal. I wouldn't go telling all your secrets anyhow, but if the paperwork makes them feel better..." When he said nothing, she opened one eye. "Why?"
Logan shook his head, staring down at her. I guess I expected you to be upset. A smile curved his mouth again, and he leaned down to lightly kiss her brow. This is why I love you, Bronte. Because she wasn't like Danica? She snorted, and that tiny move made her head hurt all over again. Rest, love, Logan told her, brushing a hand over her cheek and pulling the covers back up around her chest. You have a few hours before we land. Where are we going? She asked sleepily. It's a surprise, one I think you'll enjoy. It was a surprise, all right. Hours later, after she'd taken aspirin for her hangover, Bronte stared in surprise at the small airport where they'd just landed. It looked familiar. She looked up at Logan questioningly. Come on, we'll miss the ferry to Sea Turtle Cay if we don't hurry. We're going back to the resort? She wobbled behind him a few steps as he began to head down the tarmac briskly. I don't understand. Isn't it wrecked? How can it be open for business? It's not open, he told her. But not all the rooms are destroyed, and I thought you wouldn't mind having another look at the place when a hurricane isn't bearing down on you. Bronte was silent as they took the ferry out to Sea Turtle Island, then drove out to the resort. The downed trees had been cleaned up and the power lines restored, she noticed as they drove. When they pulled up to the main resort, the sounds of drills and power saws greeted her, and she looked at the hotel in surprise. Large swaths of the entire eastern wing of the resort were covered in construction plastic. There was no broken glass littering the lobby any longer. Everything had been cleaned up and repaired. Trees had been righted or replanted, and the entire place seemed different from when she'd last seen it. Bronte passed by the gift shop and noticed a floral beach dress, very similar to the one she'd salvaged from the place when they'd been stranded, hanging on the mannequin. The diamond necklace was still there, which made her smile ironically at the sight. To think she'd been worried about Logan taking it because he wouldn't be able to afford it. How he must have laughed at her concern. She shook her head and tucked her hand into the crook of his arm, and felt warm when he automatically placed his hand over hers. They entered the hotel, and a curly-haired man with a swarthy tan and wearing a suit appeared, extending his hand for Logan to shake. Mr. Hawkins, it is a pleasure to see you here. Mr. Douglas, Logan said. Things look like they are proceeding well. Indeed they are. Repairs have continued around the clock, and once the upgrades are decided upon, we can continue with the renovations. Mr. Douglas smiled at Bronte. This must be Miss Dawson. Bronte extended her hand politely, smiling at the manager. Pleasure to meet you. Miss Dawson is tired from our trip. Logan said in a crisp voice. Is our room ready? It is, Mr. Douglas exclaimed with a bright smile. Everything that you have asked for is ready and waiting. Both men paused for a moment, and then Logan looked down at her. Love, I need to meet with Mr. Douglas to discuss some things. Would you like to go up and check out our suite? Let me know if there's something that's not to your liking. She nodded absently. It felt like Logan was trying to get rid of her at the moment, but the need for a shower outweighed everything else at the moment. What floor are we on? I will have someone show you the way, Miss Dawson. The manager turned and waved over a tall, willowy woman. Luce, please escort Miss Dawson to Mr. Hawkins' personal suite. Right away, Luce said, smiling at Bronte. Please follow me. Logan kissed her temple and whispered in her ear, I'll be up shortly. She nodded and pulled away from him, following Luce across the lobby. Bronte paused when Luce stopped in front of an all-too-familiar elevator. Can we take the stairs? Luce seemed surprised at her request. It is 20 floors up. Are you sure you wish to take the stairs? Bronte grinned. Oh, I'm sure. Very sure. Very well, Luce said, leading her farther down the west wing. At the end of a long hallway, they opened the door to the stairwell. It was well lit and there wasn't a single mattress in sight, which was almost disappointing. Bronte thought of the long nights she'd spent there, curled up with Logan. Funny how at the time she'd been wondering what he was thinking about her. Funny how she was back to square one in that aspect. Since she'd been living in Gretchen's fourth-floor walk-up for the past 2 weeks, the flights of stairs were not so bad, and she handled them better than poor Luce. They paused repeatedly between sets of stairs, and it took longer than anticipated to get up to the top floor. But she was in no hurry to step back into that elevator, so she didn't mind. When they finally got to the 20th floor, Bronte noticed the hall had been recently recarpeted, and art hung on the walls. New art, she wondered? The smell of paint was still strong, the walls crisp and fresh with color. Had they remodeled this portion of the building first, knowing that Logan would be stopping by for a visit? And was there anywhere in the world that Logan Hawking's every whim was not catered to? She smiled wryly at the thought. Luce moved to the door and tapped in a code on the keypad. There are no keys for this room, Miss Dawson. You simply need to use the access code. It is 5543. She opened the door and gestured for Bronte to enter. Please call down and let me know if there is anything else I can do for you during your stay. I will, Bronte said. Thank you, Luce. The other woman nodded and left, and Bronte stepped into the suite with a dumbfounded look on her face. She'd been expecting the room to be posh, but once again, she was surprised at the wealth and luxury that Logan enjoyed. The room was palatial. Slow-moving fans lazily whirled overhead from the high-beamed loft ceiling. A breeze ruffled white curtains on the balcony. The room was full of sweet-smelling flowers, vases artfully perched on end tables and countertops. Those were the only splashes of color. Everything else was stark, brilliant white. From the fluffy bedspread to the artful netting hanging over the bed to the thick carpet beneath her feet. There were even white couches in the living room area, offset by dark teakwood furniture accompanying it. It was lovely and cool and tropical, and she immediately felt relaxed at the sight. How beautiful! Bronte moved to the small kitchen area, looking for bottled water to soothe her dry throat. She laughed when she opened the mini-fridge and saw it was full of M&Ms. Logan truly seemed to recall every small thing she'd ever mentioned, and the thought made her feel warm inside. The bed was gorgeous, but Bronte wanted to wash up first. She groaned with pleasure at the sight of the shower. It was made entirely from stone instead of tile, and the shower head was a built-in waterfall meant to mimic a tropical paradise. It was also heaven on her skin, and she took a long, exceedingly hot shower, enjoying every minute of luxury. Then she curled up in one of the fluffy white robes left for her and headed to the bed, intending to try it out only for a moment. She woke up hours later, when Logan's heavy weight sagged on the bed next to her. She smiled as he pulled her close and turned her face up for his kiss. His mouth lightly touched hers. "Do you like the room?" "It's gorgeous," she said with a small sigh. "I could stay here forever." His lips continued to move along her jawline. "How about a week? I have some business to attend to while we're here, and need to stay until next Saturday." Bronte sat up, pushing him away. "How about you ask before dragging me onto your jet?" "I did ask," he said, his stern lips quirking with amusement. "If I recall, you told me that you loved the idea, and then you fell over and began to snore." She scowled at him. "How about asking me when I'm sober? I'm supposed to work for the next week." "Gretchen says they will be fine without you."
"You talked to Gretchen?"
"She packed a bag for you, don't you remember?" Bronte blinked, trying to recall. "Nope, the night before was still a whiskey-filled blur." "I'm sure it'll come back to me." "I'm sure," Logan said, kissing her neck. He sounded amused. Her hands went to his thick hair and she ran her nails over his scalp, sighing with pleasure when he licked at the sensitive dip in her throat.
"Logan, I want to talk to you."
His teeth grazed her collarbone. "Talk, love. I'm listening."
"You're being very distracting."
"I've only started to be distracting," he told her in a husky voice. His hand slipped inside her robe and cupped her bare breast, thumb playing over her nipple. Heat and longing shot through her body, and she moaned, her hips moving reflexively.
"That's not fair," she gasped,
her words rising an octave when he continued to circle her nipple with the pad of his thumb, making the sensitive peak stiff.
"I'm trying to have a serious conversation with you."
"I'm very serious right now," Logan told her. tugging open the belt of her robe and exposing her breasts. His head moved down, and he kissed the other nipple.
"I've wanted to touch you all day, and I'm very serious about getting to do so right now."
"Logan," she breathed, her fingers gripping his hair tightly. "I wanted to talk about you and me."
His teeth gently bit her nipple. "How good we are together?"
She moaned as he raked his teeth lightly over her nipple again, then tongued the sensitive flesh.
"I've been thinking."
Grinding to a screeching halt, Logan jerked up, his gaze meeting hers. Those warm, delicious eyes were now staring back at her warily, and his voice was cold.
"What were you thinking?"
"Oh." Bronte felt a twinge of shame at his immediate wariness. His reaction was so strong as a result of her constant running away. He was expecting her to bail on him again. She reached up and stroked his strong, tense jaw.
"I was thinking that. I've been unfair to you."
He stared down at her, no emotion showing. Those hard eyes glittered.
"You have been unfair to me? Explain."
"Yes," she said, and skimmed her thumb over his lower lip. It was really unfair that he was so sensual and masculine. "Whenever things got a little frightening for me, I ran away. I should have stayed and talked to you. And I'm sorry. I want this to work between us. I want you. I want to be with you." Logan's cold expression finally cracked. He exhaled loudly and then buried his face against her.
"Logan?"
She touched his hair.
"I thought you were going to leave me again."
The relief in his voice was evident, and he began to press kisses on her stomach.
"You scared the shit out of me."
"Sorry," she said, the nervous giggle escaping her throat. "Damn stupid giggle. I won't run again, not without talking to you first. It's hard to know where I fit in your world when I've always had trouble even fitting into my own."
"I know where you fit," Logan said, sitting up suddenly. He pressed a fist to his heart. "Right here, Bronte."
Sudden tears pricked her eyes.
"I love you, Logan." "I love you too," he told her, leaning down and kissing her mouth lightly. "And I want you to be comfortable with me. If something bothers you, tell me so I can fix it or change it."
"I think it's me more than you, Logan. I thought that if I came to you and did nothing but sit around your house, I'd turn into one of those women that you hate. I'd do nothing but spend your money on shoes and purses all day long, like Danica."
"It wasn't that Danica spent my money, love. If you dedicated your life to shopping, you wouldn't be able to spend all my money. It was that she valued the money more than she valued our relationship. You've never been like that. You never will be. It's not in your nature."
He picked up her hand and kissed the palm of it tenderly.
"That's one reason why I fell for you so hard."
"I might spend some of your money," Bronte blurted, waiting for him to react. But he didn't. He only continued to smile at her. "I've realized that I was resenting you for my being a waitress, which is stupid. It isn't your fault I picked a major that wouldn't get me anywhere except waiting tables. It wasn't that you wanted me to make something of myself. It's that I wasn't happy with who I was. That doesn't change with or without money, really. But Gretchen woke me up, and I realized that only I can make myself satisfied with my career path. All I know is that being without you made me unhappy, even when I was waiting tables again. So..."
She breathed deep and blurted.
"I want to go back to college and get a graduate degree. Or start a charity to donate books to schools and retirement homes like Gretchen does, but on a bigger scale. Or do both, or all of it. I'm not sure, but I want to do something with myself. I'll get bored sitting around your apartment all day."
A smile curved his hard mouth. "Love, I want you to do whatever makes you happy, and if going back to school helps you, or starting a charity, then we'll do both, as long as we do it together."
"Together." She blinked rapidly, overcome. "I'm sorry I've made this so difficult. I..."
"Shh," he told her. "You didn't. You were just frightened, and I tend to be overbearing and controlling. It's part of my nature."
"It is," she agreed with a small smile. "You're used to handling the situation. but a girl likes to be asked every now and then. I promise to ask more, he said, and his eyes grew serious again. He reached into the inner pocket of his jacket and produced a small box. Logan held it out to her. Starting now. She sucked in a breath, staring at the small dark blue box. Her fingers trembled as she reached for it and slowly snapped the case open. An oval diamond the size of a pebble was set into a thick gold band. She stared at the ring in surprise, then at Logan.
I picked the inscription for you, he said,
his voice a little gruff. Do you like it?
Inscription?
She pulled the ring out of the box and peered at the inside of the band, turning the ring to read the tiny lettering printed there. Every heart hears a song, incomplete, until another heart whispers back. Her eyes filled with tears she'd been unable to hold back.
It's beautiful, Ovid.
Plato, actually, he told her with a grin. A laugh escaped her, wild and free. Plato, of course it was. How very perfect. You're my heart, Bronte. I know it feels like such a short time together, but I want to wake up every day with you at my side and in my life. He took the ring from her trembling fingers and held it out to her. Will you marry me?
Of course I will, she said, throwing her arms around his neck. I love you so much.
I love you too, Logan told her. Waitress, philosopher, or charitable organizer, I'll love you all the same as long as you'll be mine.
Slipping the ring on her finger, she kissed him with all the love in her heart. Epilogue. It didn't take long for Bronte to decide what she wanted to do with her life. Gretchen's book donation charity had inspired her, and after signing up for continuing education classes at New York University, she worked with Logan's financial advisors to set up a charity. Philosophy Reads was soon born, complete with a fancy website and nonprofit status. Her goal? To bring her love of reading and knowledge to those who couldn't afford it or couldn't get out. Bronte selected two books, one classic and one modern, and then purchased hundreds of copies. These she had delivered to local libraries, retirement homes, and hospitals, and she set up weekly meetings for people to meet and discuss them. She nearly danced with delight when her first meeting, at the retirement home where Gretchen had dropped off books before, had an attendance of nearly 50 people, all of them brimming with enthusiasm to discuss that month's reads, The Iliad, and Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. She wanted to eventually introduce them to heavier reads, but she'd start them out slow. The discussions were a success in some venues, and in others, not as much. She had a few that were sparsely attended. But it was a work in progress, and she was determined to fine-tune her charity and turn it into a well-oiled machine that would help bring the joy of reading to those who might otherwise overlook it. That part of her life had become increasingly satisfying, almost as much as living with Logan. As soon as she'd moved back in, she'd quietly begun to refill his library with new reads, some classics, which Logan read out of a sense of obligation to her. But when she caught him quietly reading a Tom Clancy paperback, she also added men's action thrillers to his section, and even read some of them herself so they could discuss the books over dinner. Logan was proud of her charity and never objected to the amount of money she spent. At night, they twined around each other, locked in bliss. She'd signed the non-disclosure agreement without a word of complaint and had offered to sign a prenup. Logan turned down her offer vehemently and then spent the evening kissing her back into submission. The fact that she was willing, he told her, was more than enough for him. Life was just about perfect for Bronte, and she grew to love Logan more each day. Every morning, she woke up eager for what the day would bring and excited about how much she enjoyed being with Logan. And every day, she held her engagement ring, that big, audacious diamond she would have run from a few months prior, and read the heart-melting inscription to herself again. Every heart sings a song, incomplete, until another heart whispers back. And Bronte's heart was complete now that Logan's was whispering back. This concludes Stranded with a Billionaire by Jessica Clare. Narrated by Gillian Macy. Copyright 2013 by Jessica Clare. This unabridged audiobook is recorded by arrangement with Intermix, a member of Penguin Group, USA, LLC, a Penguin Random House company, and was produced in the year 2014 by Tantor Media Incorporated, which holds the copyright there too. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers. Or call toll-free 877-7-TANTOR to request a catalog.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.